welcome. It's Tuesday night, and it's time for another edition of the Data Hub with Tyron Tichenot. I'm Tyron Tichenot, Director of the Bureau of Statistics and Plans. Tonight, we're going to have Dr. Austin Shelton from the Center of Environment and Sustainability at the University of Guam, and his new project, the G3 Conservation Corps, and we'll be talking to a number of the Conservation Corps members about the work they're doing and what they're learning and as part of this effort and what this means for the community. We'll have them up in a few minutes. Next month, it will be the 6th annual Assembly Planner Symposium. Last one was held on February 20th, 2020, and it was probably the last large in-person government conference before the COVID-19 restrictions were put in place in March of 2020. They were now on the verge of being lifted, and they were pretty well close to it at a slight over 79.5% to get to the full 80%. Let's. If you're not vaccinated, please go into the various public health centers that have available to get help us reach that goal. I mean, with that, we can leave a number of the restrictions and help bring our community back to normal and help our economy recover as well, which is also very important here. And in part, we're sort of counting on this in our planning for the 6th annual Assembly Planner Symposium to increase the number of in-person attendance. And other things we can do there, like having exhibits and other things, you know, to enhance the conference. And a lot of this hinges on the current restrictions being lifted as per Governor Lou Lianguero's executive order, which calls for lifting the restrictions as soon as we reach 80%. So I'm certainly confident that well before the 6th annual Assembly of Planners Symposium, which is August 18th and 19th at Dusitani, that we will reach that goal. And so our planning is based on that, and it also remains to be to execute it. And so I'm calling on everyone there to please help out the bureaus in this endeavor, and indeed help us all out in terms of providing a more healthier community, community that is brought back to some degree of normality, and an economy to bring it back to provide jobs for our people here. All those hinge on getting our population vaccinated as much as possible. This issue has become a sort of thorny one in the states here, and in fact, there's been with the Delta variant raging through the U.S. In part, it's raging. For the most part, it's raging through unvaccinated populations, which is sort of hindering the recovery back in the states. Fortunately, I believe our community takes a more positive view of vaccinations, and have not really run into that. But you know, this last 20% was always going to be harder. But in any event, we're going to still reach for that goal because it's important for our community here. Like I said, we're going to try to do tonight's show through Zoom and through the fine work of the people in the engineering booth at K57 to bring in Dr. Austin Shelton and his GT Conservation Corps, which are scheduled to get online in about a minute. And I'll wait for the studio booth to advise me as to whether that's working or not. Okay, hi. So who do we have online here? From my Zoom thing, Channel 6 on the remote. Okay, I'll say, Austin, are you there? Austin, I can't.
Hey there, Mr. Tichenot. I'm here.
Yeah, Austin. We're sorry for the logistical challenge here. We weren't quite sure we were going to pull off a Zoom meeting, but due to the fine works of K57 and their dedication to do for the show, for which I'm very appreciative, we're going to pull this off here. So, Dr. Shelton, you're the only one online on Zoom. Is that right?
Yes. We're
okay.
Hoping that everybody gets the link.
Ah, so there we go. I see you now, Austin, on my own Zoom stuff. So anyway, Austin, before we get into talking to the members of the G3 Conservation Corps that's been lined up here, why don't we do some foundational stuff? Why don't you explain to the listening audience, one, what the Center of Environment and Sustainability is, two, what is the Guam Green Growth Initiative, and three, get to explaining this endeavor of the Guam Green Growth Initiative, namely the G3 Conservation Corps. So once we have that basis, and then I think that we can move forward productively and to talk to the fine young members of your G3 Conservation Corps. So I'll start off with introducing what the Center of Environment and Sustainability is and why it's important to the community.
Well, thanks very much for this opportunity to be sharing about our programs and the Guam Green Growth Conservation Corps that we're really excited to have going on right now. Well, first of all, our University of Guam Center for Island Sustainability was established in 2009 to lead and support the transition of our island region toward a sustainable future. Mm-hmm. And what we've been sharing a lot lately is that the concept of sustainability is a lot more than just about the environment. It's really about the intersections between human society, the economy, and then the natural environment altogether. So there's that sweet spot where these all balance and connect, and that's where we find sustainability, which means to meet the needs of today, meet the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their needs. So that's what we're working on here at the center with a variety of different programs.
Okay, and then based on that, Governor Lulian Guerrero created the Guam Green Growth Initiative, and which is largely centered on the Center of Island Sustainability to lead, and that is based on the UN 17 Principles for Sustainability. Do I have that right?
Yes, in large part. So there's so what happened was in 2019, Guam was invited to join the global forefront of leadership in island sustainability, which means that our leaders here in Guam had to say yes to joining this network called the Local 2030 Islands Network during the UN General Assembly. So Governor Leon Guerrero and Lieutenant Governor Tenorio said yes to that, and shortly after signed an executive order 2019-23 and established the Guam Green Growth Working Group and assigned facilitation of the initiative to us at the University of Guam Center for Island Sustainability. And we've been working on it ever since with the 99 different working group members representing all sectors of society. We now have an action framework, an intensive action plan ever created to achieve a sustainable future. And we're really happy to be implementing that now.
And speaking to your earlier point about the intersection of elements of not only the economy but the society for a sustainable community, so that it's much more the environment, the 70 principles of the UN principles cover a number of things, including that are not necessarily purely environmentally based, but issues, for example, like social justice and gender equality, and those issues. Are concerns that are necessary to have a sustainable society, as well as a sustainable community and a sustainable economy. So that's the broader scope of the G3 initiative, even though a lot of the attention and focus is on environmental concerns, but it's meant to that larger scope as well, isn't it?
That's right. So there's these 17 United Nations Sustainable Development Goals that we've been talking a lot about recently here on Guam, and we're happy to be a part of that. So 17 goals really touch on all those different aspects of sustainability that I mentioned, in the economy, human society, and the natural environment. So, for example, number one is no poverty. Number two is zero hunger. There are goals like gender equality. And it's not until you get to number 13, 14, and 15 way down there on the list that we start seeing more of the environment goals like climate action and life below water and life on land. So it's a real variety, truly encompassing all sectors of our society for a sustainable future and a sustainable development framework.
Which brings us to the G3 group's latest endeavor, which is the G3 Conservation Corps. So now that I've sort of dragged, insisted that you lay out all the foundation stuff, now we get to the meat of the matter here and this new initiative of the G3 Conservation Corps. So Austin, perhaps you could explain what is the G3 Conservation Corps?
That's right. So a little bit ago, I mentioned that we have the G3 Action Framework. That's the comprehensive plan to move us toward a sustainable future. And there's a few tangible projects, tangible solutions that we're working on right now to create that sustainable future. And one of those is the Guam Green Growth Conservation Corps, which is actually a workforce development program intended to prepare our community for the emerging green economy. So what is the green economy? These are different growth areas in things like renewable energy, agriculture, aquaculture, energy efficiency, reforestation, removal of invasive species. Now we have a lineup of 5 months straight for 12 G3 Innovation Corps members to work full-time in this workforce development training program. And so I believe we're into our fourth or fifth week now, and we will finish around November, and they'll be able to get all of these trainings over the next few months.
So what is the objective here at the end of this 12-week period after you graduate the course? What is your hope of what these 12 people will do with the skills they've acquired and the knowledge they've gained through this 12-week course?
Well, not just the 12 members will benefit from this, because we are getting out and engaging the community with things like weekly island beautification events and bringing in volunteers as we go along. But for the 12 members who are in the program full time as the crew leaders of the Conservation Corps, they'll be exposed to a variety of different areas in this emerging green economy and have an understanding about the career opportunities, the business opportunities, the jobs in all of these different sectors, again, agriculture, aquaculture, renewable energy. And we hope that they'll either go back into the industry with this perspective into new jobs. And I guess I should also mention that they really represent a cross-section of our community. It's there are some people that are straight out of high school, some that are straight out of college, but there's also a retiree. There are people who have been furloughed during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. There's a small business owner, a cultural practitioner, an artist. So a real great cross-section that we want to show all the different opportunities in this green economy for people to be working on, and bring the community along for that journey as we share more about all the activities each week.
And I believe we have one of those 12 members online here. I think his name is Joe. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Can you introduce yourself to the audience?
Yes. My name is Joseph Sorteza. I am, as Austin said, one of the crew leaders with University of Guam's Guam Green Growth Conservation Corps.
So Joe, perhaps maybe share your background with the listening audience, and then maybe give from your perspective, what is some of the work you've been doing so far with the Conservation Corps, and I think we should start from the beginning here and ask how and why did you come to the decision to get involved in the G3 Conservation Corps?
So
it's a long story, right? Okay. We have a long program, so feel free to take the time to lay it out.
Right on. Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Mr. Titano. So I decided to, when I saw the call for applications, if they wanted to participate in the Conservation Corps, I just like, I'm an artist. I'm self-employed artist. And I guess you can just say I was in a rut. So I was like, okay, maybe this might be an amazing program just to learn and grow. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can add things from this program into my own small business, Top Pacific Designs. And I've submitted. And during the whole application, why did I want to become a Conservation Corps team member is just, just growth. And I think this is a really cool opportunity to give back to my island and learn how to better myself as an adult, as a human being, in terms of everyday practices I take home or I take to my family. And so far within these 5 weeks, this 1 month already, I feel like I have gained so much knowledge, so much gratitude towards the kind of work that goes into sustainability, especially to Miss Peggy Denning. Like today, I totally just helped out with an iRecycle bin in Aloha Elementary School, and just seeing how much she deals with by herself. It's just her impact and just the meaning of what she does is just so powerful, just to be able to see her in action, work with her and learn from her. And, you know, this comes straight back to what G3 Conservation Corps members are able to do, work with different organizations. not only iRecycle, we just work with Department of Agriculture and Forestry. We just got to work with Farm to Table. We got to work with another department within the Center of Island Sustainability during the watershed, during GROW. And that's just, you know, just so much that we're gaining and just so much more that we want to learn and so much more that we want to be able to think together and figure out how else can we succeed after these 5 months. And it's endless right now, but it's part of this program which somehow we're gonna come out to think better about what can we do.
Wow. You know, and I'm actually glad that Austin is coming with a diverse assemblage of people for these first 12, particularly having an artist. There's an old adage that people work for a living, but that the work of an artist gives meaning to life. So, you know, getting your perspective on this as an artist is, I think, kind of very interesting. Tell me, let's examine a couple of the items that you mentioned here. We were doing some work with the Farm to Table organization.
Yes.
Okay.
So that was probably like week three of this program. We were able to work with Farm to Table with directly with Jeremy Vakua and his team, and just looking at what is organic farming. What is organic farming within a week's time? And
did you help out with the delivery process, with the delivery process and the assemblage of these bags? I asked that because my wife Kelly and I are a subscriber to Farm to Table, so I was wondering if maybe you put together our biweekly bag of organic products here.
Okay, so what you're actually going to receive from our efforts will be probably within the next month or so.
Okay.
Because what we were able to do with Jeremy Mabaco and the Farm to Table team was build a chicken coop. So you'll be seeing down the road.
So we'll get the eggs. Okay.
Yes, okay. The eggs. Another thing that you'll be seeing down the road from our efforts with Farm to Table is basil within the next couple, like within the next month. So your regular basil, your lemon basil, you'll be seeing some of that.
So I should plan to make some spaghetti and some Thai food then, since I'm getting basil.
Well, you know, you got
to
be creative, and that's the beautiful part about being like with your family. You get to cook together, and that's the benefit that you're going to gain from some of our efforts. But, you know, it's more so learning about the groundwork of what Farm to Table does. What does it do to prepare the soil and maintain the soil? So we learned about composting, different kinds of teas that you can add to to the water, like using compost, soak it in the water for a couple of weeks, and use that to water your plants just to give it extra nutrients. So that was really unique.
You know, by the way, parenthetically, just so you know, there's a project by the Zero Waste Work Group is to divert sometime 8,000 tons of biosolids produced by the wastewater treatment plants, and then have them go through a composting operation. I mean, the demonstration project was done last year to convert it into the sort of potting soil or you know, that's you normally buy at Home Depot for use in certain gardening and other applications that that you sort of mentioned. So just so you know that in addition, this thing is functioning on two levels. One is sort of industrial level, but also on a home level. And so this generally is the movement towards expanded use in composting. Before, you know, just to give you a sense that this is not just an experimental stage, but is actually a real policy-driven effort right now. So thanks for doing your part. I did, though, you know, and maybe I'm maybe sort of putting you on the spot here, but you shared your experiences as a member of the Conservation Corps and things you've done here, but I'm sort of going to ask you to put your artist hat on, and which is less literal and more empathetic, perhaps. And then as an artist, I assume that you mentioned earlier you're in a rut. I assume one reason why you did this is also to give some boost to your creative juices as well. So maybe if you can give a perspective as an artist for this whole process.
Okay, so as an artist, one of the biggest things that's part of the Green Growth Program, especially the Conservation Course, is that we're going to be working with the concept that they are trying to challenge our economy today is, which is circular economy, which is a lot of things can come full circle. For instance, in this program, like one of the opportunities that I can engage in as an artisan, because I do a lot of textile designs, and in the concept of circular economy is that I'm an artist, I want to produce one of my unique dyes that I used to do. And maybe at a large scale, when I'm ready, I want to work with folks in the tourist industry. And if they are selling coconuts to those, to the tourists, I would love to somehow purchase their coconuts. And I would, the green coconuts, and from those green coconuts, I would take it as an artist and I would chop it up to make a dye, a natural dye. And there is a very unique and very beautiful color dye that was produced with the coconut fibers that are green, that's the could be disposed of, but I can repurpose it as an artist.
And so therefore, and therefore you arrive a more enriching experience beyond just a tourist thing. It is a it is a, something that is a sustainability as a concept too, which has its own appeal, by the way. Just so you know, don't let go of that idea. Right now, the Bureau is engaging in a procurement to get a professional firm to examine Guam's competitiveness as a tourist destination and recommend a possible repositioning, rebranding strategy. And part of that is not only emphasis for new avenues for local participation, but more creative ways for marketing Guam. And as you know, there as you may know, a lot of the rising interest, particularly on millennials, is experiential tourism, where they actually travel a place to contribute to, say, sustaining an environment or dealing with an environment issue or dealing with have an experience that's sort of rooted in the community and have a meaning beyond just, you know, acquiring some trinket or something that's, you know, good to eat or something along those lines that has a process to it. And that sort of concept, I think, sort of fits in well with sort of improving the tourist experience by conveying some of your own experiences and background into the product itself. So put a pin in it, you know, so we'll and there your that time may come for that as we go ahead and rebuild in the tourism economy. Unfortunately, that's going to take a while, you know, but at best estimates, but you know, this is also a time of depression for the tourist industry, but it's also a time for opportunity for more creativity. As the president talks about, to build back better. Well, then to build back an economy that is stronger than before, that capitalizes on Guam's strengths as a competitive destination, instead of, for example, going for the low-hanging fruit, which frankly is too much in my personal view, has affected tourist policy in pre-COVID period, and to something that involves more local participation, not just because it's good for our people, but it improves our competitive competitiveness as a tourist destination. So I raised this question, Austin, previously, what is the impact of going through U-12 through this process here? And I think by this idea you've talked about, you know, in terms of your products here, I think it's sort of giving you a new way to look at what you do as an artist, and probably a broader perspective as to what can be done, which is, I think, is important. You know, if I was this pet theory here, though, the most valuable coin nowadays in this information age is authenticity. And and in terms of the creativity you are into coming with this concept, and you know, you as a small business owner know how tough the hill is time to make ideas into reality and really sustain it or not. But still, you know, somebody has to come up with the idea at some point, you know, at some place here, in order to create something new and something valuable here. And so I encourage you to pursue this idea once you. Get out of the this 12-week period. So how many more weeks are ahead of you? I think it's 7 weeks. I think, or if I
have about 4 more months, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But just to kind of continue on with what you were saying earlier, like not only am I one artist, is that there's so many other artisans on this island with so many great ideas. And the biggest thing that G3 is gonna aim to do soon enough would be with Inchmore Village has created this makerspace, which other artisans can access, which is a key thing, access very, very particular equipment that this makerspace is going to have. And it's going to allow artisans to engage into sustainable practices, which is like working with precious plastics, breaking down plastics, which is able to be molded into other items, or using those plastics to maybe to be able to be used in a 3D printing machine, you know? And that's just one extension of how artisans are going to gain a sense of accessibility in engaging in this local economy to support our economy in the biggest issue that I feel, and I think the studies even produced that GVB's issue with our tourists is that they don't leave with something that's really Guam, really made by our artisans. And having this makerspace in Chamorro Village provided by the Guam Green Growth Program is going to give that next step, that next level up for our community.
And by the way, if this sounds like very small scale to some of the listening audience, I've heard that criticism not only of this process, but also of the Marianas Climate Change Alliance and what they're doing in converting plastics here. There's two things that have to be kept in mind. One is to deal with these issues involves more than just some magic solution by a single government agency or a single business here. It's going to require community. So this sort of community participation is important. Number two is, this focus on small scale means it's a focus on small business. And even in a huge economy like the United States economy here, it's broadly recognized that the driver of the economy is small business. And so to the extent that we can create small business opportunities that are sustainable, that are rooted in the community, that have an abiding benefit to the community beyond just creating jobs and running a sustainable business, but actually contributing to a sustainable community is important. It's also important, by the way, and I honestly feel this, is for Guam's competitiveness as a tourist destination. And, you know, the traditional way of Guam marketing as a tourist destination is sun, sea, sand. But, you know, there are tens of thousands of locations around the world that do the same thing. What's important, be important to us in the long-term future, is to that differentiation. That differentiation will come from Guam's people, ultimately. And to the extent that we sort of spawn that creativity, spawn that entrepreneurial talent, and in a way that has an appeal, an international appeal, for sustainability. I mean, Joseph, you can imagine people of your generation and that hearing to this story, and going, "Wow, that's cool." And all of a sudden there you have this sort of interesting thing about Guam as a tourist nation to sort of go see and sort of attract maybe a different type of clientele that may not have come to Guam in essence you broaden the range of tourist destinations. I hate to keep on focusing on the tourist industry, but that is the major economic challenge before us. And all too often, efforts like the Guam Green Growth Initiative and the Makerspace and efforts like the Marianas Climate Change Alliance get dismissed as sort of a tree hugging sort of thing. When in fact, they're important to our sustainability community. They're important to our sustainability as an economy, and it's important to arriving to solutions. So, Joe, I've been talking too much. That we're coming out to the top of the hour. So in the last 20 seconds before we hit the CBS News, anything you want to say to in the conclusion of this of your time?
I don't know. Last 20 seconds.
10 seconds actually, but go ahead.
Yeah, if you in the community have ever have a chance to be a part of the conservation course with the Guam Green Growth, I think it's something that you should strive yourself to be a part. And the last thing is like the best is again. Something I always repeat in this with Guam Green Growth. Mihi says it best. What kind of ancestor do you want to be?
Okay. Thank Joe. Thank you so much. See you on the other side. We'll be right back. the Data Hub with Tyron Titano. I'm Tyron Titano, Director of the Bureau of Statistics and Plans. Coming up, we'll have three more members of the G3 Conservation Corps to relate their experiences and the reasons why they got involved with the G3 Conservation Corps and what they've learned and how this impacted them and their view of our island and its future. I believe we've lost our feed on Facebook for the streaming of tonight's program. However, those of you out there, I believe you can still get a streaming on it on K57.com. If you're at home and have cable television here, the program is simulcast on GTA Channel 3 and Docomo Channel 2. We broadcast live on News Talk K57 and at 96.5 FM. And a full podcast of tonight's program will be posted at k57.com in the next couple of days. And links to them will be posted on the Bureau of Statistics and Plans, three social media pages, one for the Bureau itself, one for the Coral Reef Initiative, which is a program out of the Bureau, and one for the Coastal Management Program. And we'll have three more members of the Civilian Conservation Corps on, and I believe we have back on Austin.
Austin.
Well, listen, I sent you a note, a WhatsApp message, about Joe, and I regret I talked too much and lost track of the time. I should have given him more time here, but that's an interesting addition to your first class of GT Conservation Corps members. And
I wanted to feature one thing about him was that since we do have an artist on the team, he was kind enough to help lead one of our activities. And so you might notice it if you're driving in East Hagatnia. There's a new mural on the wall right across from the beach around the Lupang area that says Life Below Water.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's a mural he designed and the whole Conservation Corps participated in. So there's a few final touches to it, but it's pretty much done. You'll see the corals, the seahorses, and also a tilazza and some fish. And so the concept is that since there's a lot of fishermen there in East Hagatnia that catch manyahak, we have the tilazza there, some manyahak fish, and the seahorse that have also lived in that lagoon. So that's just an interesting thing that you might have seen out there. That's a connection to the Guam Green Growth Conservation Corps we're talking about tonight.
Which is sort of like, I guess, is the working concept with the G3 Conservation Corps. It's not just to employ these young people in productive endeavors related to the sustainability and conservation, but also to make that connection to the community and inspire not just these 12 people, but the community. To get involved in issues dealing with sustainability. I was particularly struck by his reminiscences of working with Peggy Dennehy, but as you and I know, Austin has been around for a long time, has been a one-man, one-woman powerhouse in sort of driving the sort of the issues of recycling and sustainability or so, and how that sort of impacted on him. I think that's probably, it's a great way of introducing people to this whole issue, is getting them in contact with people who've been passionate about this for decades, like Peggy Denny has been. And
absolutely, she's done a few training sessions with us, and I'm sure our other members can talk more about that. The recycling experience that they've had.
What kind of training sessions does he does? Like, he mentioned going down to Naruhan and doing the source separation. Is it it's sort of thing that sort of practicum, sort of session?
I don't want to give it all away though. I think we've got Maddie on, and I know she was part of those recycling activities with Peggy.
And also, thanks for reminding me that I should not talk so much and give time to these very creative young people. So, Maddie, you're there.
Hello.
Hi, Maddie. Why don't you introduce yourself to the listening audience?
Hello, audience. My name is Madeline Bradley. I'm 18 years old, and I'm part of the G3 Conservation Corps.
So, Maddie, I'm going to present to you a couple of the questions that I presented Joe and the previous block. Just give us some sense of what your background is and what drew you to get involved in the G3 Conservation Corps.
So, I'm originally from Bali, Indonesia. And what drove me to start my whole journey with sustainability was my school's paper problem. In I decided to take it on and start my own recycling project where I would recycle my school's paper and turn it into new paper and then eventually save up money using that paper by selling it to save up for a plastic shredder for my school. And that kind of jumped me into wanting to lean more towards a sustainable future worldwide rather than just in my school. And then when I went and when I got to Guam in December, last December, I really wanted to continue that kind of mindset. And when I saw the newspaper article saying that this core was going to open up and it needed members, I jumped on it and decided that if I could do something in Bali which could affect the economy as well as the environment for the better.
You're great. You're doing great.
I could do the same thing here, and so far I have, and I'm very proud of it, and I'm very happy that I've been given this opportunity.
As well, you should be proud. You, I think you had the listening audience when you said you were from Bali, and then you sort of like build upon that in this remarkable story about your own journey on dealing with recycling and sustainability. And we're glad to have you here in this community to be part of the fight and the struggle for sustainability. So, Maddie, what are the sort of things you've been doing in the G3 Conservation Corps?
Well, I'd say the most notable thing was our first week, our first day, where they decided to throw us into a trash bin. Well, not a trash bin, a recycling bin, and sort out all the trash. And that pretty much paved the way for the rest of the weeks to come. We've done everything from agriculture to basic recycling. We've done art, as Dr. Shelton said. Mm-hmm. We've basically done everything to either advertise make a call to action towards sustainability to just doing it ourselves hands-on. And it's been really, really fun. My favorite thing that we've done so far is definitely farm to table. Farm to table.
Live radio. That's the fun of live radio. So just roll with it.
It's scary, but I guess I will.
Yeah.
Farm to table was great because, as Joey said, we got to build a chicken coop, and I got to clean out one and eventually make fertilizer from their waste, I guess you'd call it.
Well, that's the essence of the green economy and the circular economy, isn't it? Taking waste into resources to fuel productive economic functions, right?
Exactly.
So, which you got your hands deep into doing. and so you were part of the art project that Dr. Shelton mentioned, that Joey was the artist help create.
Yes, I was. I most notably painted some coral and painted the letters for Life Below Water.
Okay, well then we'll be looking very closely for the Life Below Water letters to get a clear example of your handiwork.
So, if you see any drips, it's not my fault.
If there were drips, you can tell me. We know how to keep a secret here. Anyway, Maddie, what besides getting involved in these sort of things, you're in sort of interesting journey here. How has your experience so far? I mean, how much longer do you have in the Conservation Corps again?
4 months.
4 more months. So at the partial point here, what would you say you have a very, like Joe, you bring to the table this very interesting perspective as someone who grew up in a remarkable, beautiful place like Bali and has come to Guam fairly recently here, and based on that experience, you've come to Guam as a home, but you've come from a different place and maybe have a different perspective. Perhaps you could speak to how the experiences has shaped your view or impacted your viewpoint or added to your view of the world and the whole context of sustainability. In other words, how has this experience so far impacted on you?
So far, the Corps has made me both very proud of this island, as well as a little disappointed, to mm-hmm. be honest.
Mm-hmm.
We do cleanups for different villages every week, and sometimes it just gets really overwhelming with the amount of trash that we come by and the amount of waste that we have to get rid of that will eventually go to our landfills. Mm-hmm. But I've also been very enlightened and very excited by projects that are being built up that we've been part of, like Farm to Table,
mm-hmm.
That are doing exactly what we need to be sustainable. And it every day I kind of reference back to this old think box thing that happened in the 70s. This is kind of weird, but
think box. I'm afraid I'm old enough to remember the long ago before time of the 70s, and perhaps you could remind me what a think box is.
So a think box is basically where you take a bunch of smart people and you shove them into a room to have a little conversation about a specific topic, and then they come up with something profound, and then people learn about it and criticize it, but also it goes out to the world as this new point of view, and that's what a think box is.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I'm referencing is one that was led by Dennis Meadows. Mm-hmm. He wanted to see in the 70s whether sustainable development was possible and was basically seeing if the world was going to be sustainable within the next 100 years. They came mm-hmm. to the conclusion that if we were to keep on polluting, keep on industrializing, making weird fast production with no management for anything else apart from production, that the world would not be sustainable within 100 years. And he kind of Dr. Meadows kind of looks at it in a very pessimistic way and says that, you know, there's no hope for the world. But every time that I come across a project that we do in the G3 Conservation Corps, it makes me very excited because I'm proving him wrong, mm-hmm. essentially.
And you know, Maddie, I'm glad you sort of relayed that story because it sort of highlights one of the major challenges of moving to a sustainable community. It's not only developing techniques and diverting the resources here and making the necessary investments, but it's also the challenge of dealing with cynicism. And, you know, the thing is with cynicism is that it's always rooted into some truth or reality here, but it's also has to be a cynicism. It's the easy course. And
right. The
hardest course is to be like you and have hope and believe in the future and believe that things can be solved if we just devote the time and energy to do it here. Like I said, sometimes it's hard to have that hope, but also we said it's real easy to be cynical, but you know, the cynics never quite produce anything new except their own cynicism, and which again speaks to some of the point that Austin and I made earlier. The what's important in the work you do is not just the physical things you do, like cleaning up a chicken coop and helping to paint a mural, but the whole idea of conveying hope and inspiration to a community, because it really is through the involvement of the community that we're actually going to do substantially work in addressing these many problems. So thank you so much for being part of the process, Maddie, and devoting your own perspective and hope and optimism to a process, even when there are so many avenues out there where you can give up hope and take the easy path of cynicism. So thank you for not taking the easy path, Maddie.
Thank you.
Do you have any plans after what you've done over the remaining 4 months in the Conservation Corps, or something you'd be interested to try to do at the end of this?
Yeah. So I have this very, very specific goal mm-hmm. that I've talked to Dr. Shelton about. Essentially, I would like to be the director for Center of Violence Sustainability at some point. I would like to be the youngest director. I do have to get a PhD. Mm-hmm. And
she's pushing me out already.
She's pushing it out already. I tell you what, Maddie, I'm so impressed with you. While you're getting your PhD, I will plot to get Austin fired. So by the time you get there, your PhD, the job will be open. How's that? But don't tell Austin, okay?
Putting it out there.
You're breeding your own insurrectionists there, Austin. You know, they've
that's
been so
okay. It makes me very happy that people want to do this kind of work, and so I'm going to do everything I can to help Maddie finish her college degree and her mm-hmm. PhD, so that she can do this type of work every day as well.
Well, we need people like her, don't we, Austin?
Absolutely.
So if anything I can do with the Bureau to help you along, Maddie, feel free to give me a call as well.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, very good. No, wallflower approach there. I make the offer and said, of course. So then you'll certainly go far, Maddie, and we want you to go far because we need people like you to deal with these issues. In dealing with people here, and I'm asking for your perspective here as someone who's sort of relatively new to the island, not all that new, but relatively new to the island here. Is there anything interesting or stands out as a little surprising about as you go this work and you are encountering with people that stands out to you, or is it pretty much as you expected when you got into the program?
It's actually been a lot different. I expected to be met with people who were kind of just giving up on their projects, or people that weren't very enthusiastic about their projects mm-hmm. because you read all the news about, you know, China not accepting anything anymore. And as I said, cynical people like Dr. Dennis Meadows. And I myself didn't really see any hope in trying to make a better future. But when I met all of these people, it made me feel so wholesome. It was a very wholesome mm. experience because they truly believed that we could do something to help, you know, put Earth's foot forward. And it's working.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not getting their hopes up for something that isn't possible, because they are making an impact and we can see it with our own eyes. So that really surprised me, just the fact that people were so optimistic, and everyone on the island is very nice and very happy, but especially those few people that I've met that are doing their own project, especially Peggy Denny.
Well, Peggy Tammy is a force in and of herself. But, you know, Austin, Maddie's interaction with people involved in this kind of speaks to what is happening in terms of the movement for sustainability, which is it's really a sort of a global movement rather than a program or a government action. And it's sort of reflected by the degree to which a major corporation sustain over sustainability, even if an administration in Washington was hostile to the idea of climate change, they signed off with us as well. And doesn't Maddie's experience sort of indicate how tapping into that sort of global zeitgeist, or that sense of movement or urgency dealing with issues of sustainability and climate change? Austin, you still there?
Yeah. Sorry, okay. I got cut off for just a second.
Again, the wonders of live radio, you know, so... So, but isn't it like, I was sort of making the point that Maddie was tapping into what is happening really globally with people around the world.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're, well, first of all, us here in Guam, a lot of us understand the urgency of climate impacts and sustainability challenges. We know that we're vulnerable to issues of food security, of mm-hmm. having to pay for and import fossil fuels and things like that. But it's also a national and global concern more and more. And we're just really happy that Maddie and all of the other members that had applied for this program really get that too. And they were looking for a way to do something good for our island. and also receive training so that they can turn this training into a career in the green economy area and be leaders for the sustainable future.
Great. Maddie, you're still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, so we need to move on to another one of your colleagues in the G3 Conservation Corps. So any final and parting thoughts you want to give our listening audience?
I don't think the definition of sustainability has been mentioned really here. So I just really wanted to put out there that sustainability really is just living life right now so that you know that future generations will have those same opportunities to live comfortably. That's all I really want.
Okay, well, Maddie, thanks so much for taking time out to join us, and thank you even more so for contributing your labors and your enthusiasm to the G3 Conservation Corps. Thanks a lot, Maddie.
And thank you so much.
I believe we have another one online.
Thanks, Maddie.
Yes. Do we have another online, I believe?
We have Ed Dolly with us now.
Ed. Hi, Ed. Again, I'll spring on you the questions I sprung with your two predecessors. Why don't you give people, the listening audience, a bit of your background and what drew you to get into the G3 Conservation Corps?
Hi, Hoffity, sir. Thank you for having me. My name is Ed Dolly, and I have a background in Chamorro cultural education, Chamorro studies. Before I was a teacher at Bishop Bumgarner, and then I transitioned to doing this. Prior to that, I served in the military as a mortician in the army. So I'm really passionate about the field of sciences mm-hmm. rather.
Okay, and what brought you into getting involved in the G3 Conservation Corps? What interested you about that, given those inclinations?
So having heard about it a little bit, and then understanding what it really stood for, it just sparked my interest because I I look forward to moving on with cultural Chamorro studies education, but on a different aspect, and with regards to long-term career goals, I've taken the experience and knowledge that I've gained here to make the conscious decision that maybe I would do better in the field of agriculture or botany. So I've really come to like and appreciate plants during my time here at the Corps.
Yeah, and by the way, folks, and for those of you who are getting the video feed on it, as a demonstration of his interest in the culture, he has the poster of the Inifrisi in the back of him as he's doing this interview. So perhaps you could relate to us some of your experiences on being part of the G3 Conservation Corps so far at this sort of partway through the program.
Man, it's been amazing. It's been a fun journey, and also a very there's a wealth of information that was given to us by the various partners that have brought us to their organizations.
Perhaps you give an example of what kind of information that sort of struck out to you as far as may new to you or that important to you, to give the listeners a sense of this.
For example, here's an example such as watershed protection, erosion control. Things of that sort, like how basically what happens at the peak of a mountain is connected to the bottom of the ocean. I want to say that's the best way to put it. And how people can make the conscious decisions to help mitigate coral reef degradation and also soil erosion. I had not actually known just how widespread the impact is
on the corals.
Right. Not only on the coral, but also on the various ecosystems along the way, from the peak of the mountain to the bottom of the ocean. So there's a whole bunch of ecosystems in between that are connected to this, and basically just they're endangered, they're in harm's way, mm-hmm. if you will, with regards to just not being able to help mitigate the impacts of soil erosion.
Mm. And just as an example of to how these stuff is connected, there is we've had major damage to the island's coral reefs as a consequence of climate change, which also impacts on fishing because a lot of fisheries habitats are in the coral reefs, and also this impacts on the seagrows and seagrasses and mangroves, which are also important to the ecosystem. So, thanks for pointing out that it's sort of all connected here. So, in your name some of the projects you've been done. Is you've been involved in the mural and working with farm to table as well?
Yes. So basically everything Maddie had mentioned previously, mm-hmm. all those projects that she took part in, we all the whole core kind of took part in with regards to those activities. So one thing I enjoyed the most about farm to table was, you know, at Farm to Table, we're able to take the concept that there are different practices with regards to farming, such mm-hmm. as commercial and organic farming practices mm-hmm. that can be utilized so that to prevent the human environmental impact, and therefore also as a result, mm-hmm. prolong the life of the soil, if you will, and also just less dependence on imported goods.
Yes,
there's less of a dependence of imported goods.
Yes, and food security.
Sorry, just to jump in there, Mr. Tyson. One of the big projects that we did, I think it was last week. We haven't really touched on yet was. The work in Maleso to prepare for the Island Beautification Task Force tree planting this weekend. The Conservation Corps was there clearing all of the tree rows and helping make that planting event possible with the foresters at Department of Agriculture.
Yeah, and those plantings are vitally important not only to deal with soil erosion, but also deal with the runoffs that go into the nearby waters, which help cause bleaching events for coral reefs and damage the reefs. And also affecting the fishing environment as well. So, yeah, that one worked. Well, I tell you what. Looking forward, if you have you have 4 months left in the program, if I recall correctly, right?
Yes.
So, looking forward here, what do you hope to? What do you have any plans right now, or any ideas that you're considering of what to do? Or what you do after the 4 months are done? Perhaps you think of returning to teaching and applying what you've learned here to your teaching, or is there something else on the horizon that you're considering?
Well, with regards to teaching, I actually want to continue to spread the knowledge and information that I'm gaining from this program, not only to my family, but to friends as well, and community members that I come into contact with. And also my daughter, who I'm currently teaching the language to, everything that I know and all the sustainable practices I'm learning, I definitely want to just continue and continue practicing it, as well as also continue spreading the awareness of these sustainable practices that each community member can take to make that big of a difference as a community. But for the long term, the horizon, I would say, personally, I feel that no matter where the road takes me tomorrow, I want it to be just as meaningful and as rewarding as this program has been, such as maybe pursuing. I'm looking into botany. I want to get into botany, so I want to maybe further my education with regards to botany, and then maybe go from there, or I'd like to get into like forestry or agriculture work. Mm. So anything that has to do with plants, I've come to love plants, and just the resources they could be, not only to increase morale or mood, mental health awareness, just not being stressed and all that, and just the types of resources they provide, not only with regards to food, but also like materials and stuff.
You know, there is there is an effort, by the way, as part of Guam's recovery from the impact of COVID-19, the economic recovery is a very much an emphasis on diversification. In other words, it's important to bring back tourism, vitally important, but it also is an effort to expand and diversify the economy in areas, including IT, and perhaps more, most importantly, certainly from the governor's perspective, is agriculture and aquaculture, and issues relating to conserving our resources to maintain our agricultural base are sort of important. So your interest in this field is coming in on just the right time, because the future of Guam is not only going to be based in involvement in agriculture, but in building up agriculture and looking for innovative ways through things like agroforestry or aquaculture in order to create that agricultural base with what will not only enhance food security, but also create more jobs and also lower the cost of living, because if we can, anything we can produce here, we don't have to spend that extra Jones Act money to ship here from elsewhere. And that, you see my point, right?
Yes, and I could honestly say that with regards to the variety of food that can be grown here, I could say that confidently, the people of Guam would not go hungry. I mean, if we have sustainable farming, sustainable practices, we could be self-sustaining. I could see that in our near future, and also at the same time, it's just not ideal for anyone to go hungry. I mean, it's just not. There's no reason anyone should be going hungry at all. I mean, the fact we even pay for food, it's understandable in like a commercial setting, but with regards to grocery stores and stuff, I feel like we should all have like a community garden and just help each other out and, practice communal living, because the people of Guam really just, that's how we are. We're hospitable people and we help each other out. And, you know, I want to say something my parents always told me when I was growing up. It was, we're doing this for you, not for us. And basically everything that goes along with that, whether it be teaching me how to fish or teaching me how to, you know, wash dishes, all the way across the board from how to farm, how to grow peppers and papayas.
Right.
My parents have really just put in a lot of effort into, making me self-sustaining in that sense, that I can provide for my family and also myself. And I hope that we as a community could definitely take part in a program such as G3 Conservation Corps, because. Mm-hmm. Not everything that you learn in the classroom, you actually get a chance to do out
to
in the
practice
field.
in the real world.
And here at G3, when we learn something from our mentors at the different agencies such as Farm to Table, Department of Agriculture, they've been generous enough to even take the time to allow us to join with them in actually partaking in the protection of watersheds and just ultimately putting into practice what they're teaching us. So that's the fun part too.
Okay. Well, you know, we're about to move on to another one of your colleagues, Jackie Brown. There any final thoughts you want to impart to our listening audience? So you said so much, but this is to give you a chance to anything, you know, to wrap this up here and do some final thoughts for those listening to this program.
For those of you listening just this segment, I'd like to thank you all for giving us your time, and then also I just encourage everyone to look into G3 Conservation Corps as an opportunity to enhance your knowledge about not only community involvement, but sustainable practices. And I encourage everyone to just continue to practice sustainability. So thank you so much. And you all have a wonderful evening. Take care.
And thank you not only for joining us tonight, but also for the time you've devoted to the Juithi Conservation Corps. Thanks a lot. And moving on to Jackie Jones.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I did the name there because it was presented somewhat differently on the screen in front of me. But Jackie, are you there? Jackie Jones, are you there? Can you? Hi, Jackie. We'll see if we can, it's on the screen. Let's see if we can tie this in. Again, Austin, the wonders of live radio, you know, this is what makes it so exciting. So, and.
Yeah, no worries. While we're waiting for Jackie to jump on, I wanted to mention that there is a way to catch up with all of these Conservation Corps members in person every Friday. They're leading an island beautification event in a different village. Right. And so this week on Friday at 8 a.m.,
okay.
You can volunteer in Mangilao. We'll be meeting at the Mangilao Community Center, and they'll be doing a cleanup until around 3:30 that day. And so we move to a different village every week for the whole five-month program.
Okay. So let me see if I can get hold of Jackie Jones. I'm told I need to press this button. Jackie, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Thank you. First of all, my apologies for the delay, and also my apologies for getting your last name wrong. You're Jackie. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you're Jackie Jones, right?
Yes.
So with that, missteps in your introduction, why don't you share with the listening audience your background and what drew you to the Juithi Conservation Corps?
Well, I'm a military spouse, and I happen to be the only one on G3, which, you know, we got to represent. So I'm hoping on the next group we can have some more military spouses. My main goal to join was, or the draw, one was the education, because we're learning so much, and it's already a field, sustainability is already a field that I think everyone should be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to give back to the island that is serving us for 3 years, potentially more, hopefully more.
Jackie, can I ask, do you live on base or you live off base?
We live off base. We live okay. in Jonya, and we love it down south. It's so beautiful. I mean, the whole island is absolutely breathtaking. So it's been remarkable to the G3 members have just welcomed me in, and it's been so fun. So I guess, you know, everything that I was hoping G3 would be is absolutely what G3 is.
You know, first of all, you know, welcome to Guam, and also thank you for being the sort of person who's interested in sort of reaching out and getting involved in the community and experiencing, and not to be sort of cachet here, but in our experience, sometimes the military deployed families are those they end up for a number of reasons, understanding getting life being centered around being inside the fence line and on base, and they don't necessarily go through the effort to sort of reach out and experience the community for these 3 years. And so first of my compliments to you for taking effort to reach out into a new community and enjoying the experience. I hope it will continue to be a pleasant one. But sort of as being a part of the community through your work here. Yes, it's important that military families represent, because you're a sizable part of our island's population, and given the build-up, your population size is growing. So
yeah, it is.
But if we get more people like you, it'll be all the better, you know. So thank you so much for your involvement here. So,
thank you.
Okay, so aside from working at farm to table, which I'm sure all of you are involved, and also you know, the general tasks that you've been involved here, perhaps you could relate anything part of your experience that sort of stood out to you so far, allowing for the fact that it just started.
Well, so much. Education has been relayed to us. Before getting started, I honestly didn't even know what a watershed was, which is, you know, where the water is going basically from the rivers down into the ocean. And and so the importance of, we've coined a term kind of with G3 is rich to reef. We mm-hmm. got that from the GROW team with the conservation. And basically what that means is what we do on the island directly reflects the reef. And so if we are starting with trying to prevent soil erosion at the top of the ridge, then the reef is going to benefit, and the mm-hmm. coral reef is like so important. I mean, everybody can see the direct benefit from that. So it's been pretty remarkable. That's the thing that stood out the most to me, is being able to be a part of something that maybe I won't see the direct benefit from, but maybe, you know, grandchildren might see the benefit from. But it's like such bigger things than just, you know, the day-to-day grind.
Well, of course, the major challenge dealing with coral reefs that I've mentioned on this program before is the onset of climate change, which has resulted in bleaching events of almost a globally unprecedented frequency in the last decade. And
it is scary
because the projections are that these bleaching events will increase with frequency between now and the end of the century. We sort of missed one earlier this year, and it was sort of coming because of the satellite photographs. You can just see the warming water is coming in sort of a red sort of wave. A number of tropicals and storms broke that up, and so we sort of missed a bullet with that one. But we know more are coming, and so, you know, work here such as you've done on with forestry are as important to preventing the runoffs, which help produce the circumstances that produce bleaching events. So I just as a sidelight here, one of the things that the many functions of the Bureau of Statistics and Plans does, it runs the island's Coral Reef Initiative program, or manages the grant for it. And in that program, there are sort of two specialists employed, but one of them deals with terrestrial threats and or problems here, and is actually, I think he's now based entirely at Department of Agriculture, and even before then he was spending like 2 days out of every five down there during planting season. But just to show how a lot of this is sort of interconnected, and how we have to sort of leverage all sorts of efforts, including the G3 Conservation Corps, in sort of addressing this. I've already asked this question in one sense, but I'm going to ask this in another sense. What has been the most surprising thing, given your experience, and particularly coming from somebody, when, how long have you been on the island, by the way, Jackie?
Actually, we just hit 1 year, so wow. We moved right in the height of.
What a year for you to arrive at, right, for 1 year. I mean, really, in the middle of a global pandemic, you know.
Yeah.
My guess is your first few months, you weren't getting around that much because of lockdown restrictions. Is that my guess?
For the first, I would say, month or so, we were just trying to get, we actually moved here from Europe, and so the time difference was just atrocious.
Yeah.
So we were just trying to survive at that point, but man, I mean, we couldn't have been in a more beautiful location while we're trying to see out this pandemic, and so it's been pretty great. But to answer your question as far as, like, what's the most surprising thing that I've learned, well, I know I kind of answered that before about the ridge to reef. Mm-hmm. I just really didn't know that. Okay, it's related. So the whole ridge to reef thing is like all the soil erosion is literally strangling out the coral reef. So mm-hmm. in addition to what we have with global warming, which is scary in itself, mm-hmm. but we also have the silt and the topsoil being washed down directly into the coral reef,
mm-hmm.
and it's strangling out the coral reef. So, you know, that's a whole other problem. So that was really surprising to me. I had mm-hmm. no clue that that would be another threat on all the coral species. And something pretty remarkable to also learn is how many coral species are actually here in Guam. And I believe it's the most in the world. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Shelton, but I remember you saying something like that in the very beginning of our program, and I just like sat there with my mouth at the ground, like, holy cow. So I had to look it up.
the number of coral reefs.
Most diverse in the United States. Most yes. diverse coral
okay,
reefs.
Okay, in the United States, States, not in the world. Okay, great.
No. Palau is still went up on that one, but it still speaks to the sort of biodiversity challenge that we have. Jackie, I sort of had the same sort of. made the same point to Maddie, one of your colleagues previously here. And it's by the way, Austin, once again, congratulations on assembling not only an impressive, but a really a diversified a group here that just from these first a few that we've been interviewing tonight here. You know, but it, and the sort of point I sort of made with it, your sort of interest in sort of sustainability and the issues regarding our environment are sort of reflective of what I believe is a sort of a global movement. I mean, Maddie coming had this interest coming from Bali. There are people here from locally, and you coming from the island, you know, arriving in just a short period of time in the middle of a pandemic, by the way, and yeah. And still there's that sort of shared connection, which in Maddie's case was a little surprising, but is really a global phenomenon, and sort of speaks to what the real strength of this movement is in the people involved here. And you know, I just going to make this point, Austin, as you know, there's particularly among the cynics, there will be a tendency to dismiss this work here as, you know, as very small scale, and it only involves 12 people, but you know. It what's more probably more important is besides the impressive work these core members have done, is how inspiring their example is. And Jackie, thank you so much for your very kind words about our island and your experience here. But thank you for coming here in the middle of a pandemic. Maybe you didn't have that choice given your husband's in the military. But still, you know, thanks.
We did have a choice. Oh. And Guam wasn't really something I knew much about. But then as soon as we started reading about Guam, and you know, of course, like we're thinking, what cool opportunities it is to travel from here because mm-hmm. it's such a beautiful location. You know. But of course, we didn't see COVID coming, but like, that's okay. It'll happen eventually, or I'll just make myself a very sweet little spot here with all the locals. So
as you hold out from as Armageddon descends upon us all. And so, you know.
Exactly. Like-minded individuals.
So I tell you what, Jackie, you know, one of the challenges of this program is that I have this tendency to talk too much.
And I have a similar tendency, so that's okay.
Yeah, but it's my job to let the guests talk rather than me talking so much. So what happens is when we reach this point in the program, which is 4 or 5 minutes and a half, and I'll give some of this to Austin as well, but this is the time where I just shut up and give you a chance to impart whatever comments or wisdom or thoughts or information you wish to impart to our listening audience as we head up to the CBS Radio News in about 4 minutes, 5 minutes and 10 seconds. So, Jackie, take it away.
I would say a little shameless plug, because we're at Valley of the Lati this week, and we're working there at the farms, and it's been really pretty remarkable to see, because they're right at the mouth of where the river goes right directly into the ocean. So they see at the bottom of the Ugam River exactly the benefits of what we could potentially be influencing when we're working at the top of the watershed. And so I encourage everyone that is listening to this, or that might be listening to this in the future, to come check out Valley of the Lati. And when they take you on the boat, ask the captain, because there's a little river boat that takes you up the river, and whether you're a local or you're, and this is something I thought was kind of funny. I hear this a lot. They say the tourists or the military, like I hear this, that we see more of the island because we're the ones like trying to absorb as much as we can than some of the locals. They don't go on these excursions. But I tell you what, the Valley of the Lati is so beautiful, and you get so much out of it. And this Saturday, they're having a cultural event. And so I encourage you to go down and check out and see the soil erosion problem, and then find out a way that you can participate and help out. And whether it be directly with the Conservation Corps by volunteer, or, you know, another way, maybe you know somebody that can plug you with the right people. But and then also absolutely have to mention that Fridays are our cleanup days. I know I kind of heard a little tail end on that, but you know, in radio, you got to keep plugging it because you want everybody who's listening in right to hear it. But on every Friday, we love volunteers and having people come out, and we are so appreciative of having an extra set of hands, even if it's only for an hour. It's still an hour of extra hands helping pick up garbage and beautifying our island. If you're at the beach and you bring your, you know, bag full of snacks, collect a bag full of trash on your way out, and help to beautify our island.
Well, again, thank you for Jackie to demonstrate the merit of me shutting up and letting the guests talk here. That's a great way to round this up here. And by the way, I'm glad you plugged in the Valley of the Laddie. I've been there, and that's an impressive spot, not only for the tourists, but for just to enjoy as an experience. And they're doing a number of programs right now for the island's youth here. And by the way, you're right that sometimes many of the people who live on this island don't actually get out to as much as they should to some of these spots here. And actually try and go down south of the Micronesian Mall, particularly if they live up north. But so thank you for making that plug and that point. So Jackie, I'll let you go and turn to Austin, my friend. Are you still with us?
I'm still here, Mr. Titzner.
Okay.
Yes, thank you very much again for this opportunity. And since this is the Data Hub show, I just wanted to mention some numbers because Jackie is actually one of our data collectors on this whole project. So you mentioned that there might be some skeptics out there saying we're not really doing enough with 12 people, but we're going to have huge impact numbers by the end of the 5 months with the thousands of pounds of garbage that we're getting off of our streets and also things that we're planting, like the trees. So I think it was just today or within the last 2 days, they've the Conservation Corps members have planted 276 new pineapples, and they also cleaned 198 pineapple stumps to put in the nursery, which will grow out for a little bit, and then those will go into the ground. But they're contributing to our food security, to the economic diversification of the island, especially in the growth areas like agriculture. And so this week you heard Valley of the Laddie. That's the ecotourism lesson. We've had the watershed restoration lessons, and in a few weeks we're going to go pull the chain of love invasive plant off the side of the road. We're going to be going brown tree snake hunting on Cocos Island. We're going to be going to get energy audit training from Guam Power Authority. We're trying to also find an opportunity to install solar panels. So there's really going to be a whole variety of different workforce development training programs that's going to be very impactful for our island in these 5 months. And so we're really happy to have the 12 members on the ground doing this wonderful work to advance our sustainable future.
Well, fantastic, Austin. And again, congratulations on developing this wonderful program that is not only doing a lot of good concrete work, but is inspiring to a community. And I'll catch you on the on the other side, Austin, and maybe at the Assembly of Planners Symposium. So, in any event,
See you then.
Anyway, that does it for tonight's show as we head up to the CBS Radio News.